Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 16. And this was one message, and it now has become three. But that's all right. I want you to learn these things. And Acts chapter 16, verse number 6 is where we're going to begin. And Paul and Silas has been out, and they've been the Lord's been using them in great ways, and they've been here and there. But of course, they get into all kinds of messes and so forth, and yet they were back to the places where they had been persecuted, even. But there was a lot of folks who accepted Christ, and the churches were begun. And so while they went back to a couple places where they had been before, where there was problems, and they were kind of chased out, they went back again, didn't give up, and they came across a fellow by the name of Timothy, and he ended up being kind of Paul's protege. And that's in the first five verses of chapter 16. And then, Timothy seemed, I think that might even be where Timothy kind of joins the group and starts to travel with them. And so Paul, you know, he's starting to kind of take charge, because remember, the first missionary journey, Barnabas took Paul. Barnabas was kind of the head guy, and during those times, Paul learned and so forth, and now Barnabas took Mark and went back to Cyprus, which is Barnabas' hometown, and it may have been Marcus's hometown as well, or at least original place, because Marcus was the nephew of Barnabas, so there may be some relatives there. But anyway, Paul's got it on his heart that he's going to go here and he's going to go there, and be honest, it was kind of like a young preacher, and it's not wrong. But sometimes a young preacher is gonna, he gets out of college and he's gonna win the entire world to Christ, and in his heart he is, and that's good, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But he wants to take in everything, and away they go. And so we got in verse number 6. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, asking him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is, of course, where we get the book to the Philippians, to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to give some of the initial thing here, as I did several weeks ago, just because this is where I was headed for, and we're going to get to that part today. I want to put it back in perspective and get our vision going in the right direction here. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you give each of us what we need. This is, again, when we walk through a passage like this, we're hitting a lot of, it's almost like a shotgun message to the world. We're shooting on this and shooting on that and shooting on this for a while and so forth and so on. And yet, Lord, there's something in there for all of us. And you know what it is that we need to hear. And so, Lord, I ask you to help me to say what you want me to say, not waste time on things you don't want me to say. But, Lord, I'm going to try to yield to you the best I can, like we'll be talking about here tonight, yielding to the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I'm going to give you I'm going to put this in your hands, and I ask you to very clearly direct me, and I'm going to be sensitive and keep my antenna up to you, Lord, tonight, and I want you to guide me in what we need to do here this evening. And, Lord, it'll do the work that you have set it out to accomplish, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I believe the Lord gives us common sense to lead us if we will use it. And I think that's true. We all know, you can't, even though it's Christmas time, you can't live on candy and ice cream and cookies. And we try, but we know that we can't. We have common sense. But there are times when the Lord leads us in ways that seem to go against our common sense. For example, Philip, I mentioned here a few weeks ago, Philip the evangelist was having revival in Samaria with great success in Acts chapter 8. And then the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go out into the middle of the desert. And while he's out there in the middle of the desert, he comes across this one fellow and his entourage. the Ethiopian eunuch. And that whole part is covered there in Acts chapter 8. And it was something that God wanted us to know about and to see. And so there it was. And so God left. It didn't make sense for him to leave Samaria and see all these folks getting saved. But that's what the Lord wanted us to do. Just like it doesn't make sense really for Paul to pass by all these other people to go all the way over there to Macedonia. He sees all these people. So, well, let me go here and teach them. Well, let me go here and teach them. And Paul and God says, no, I want you to go all the way over to Philippi. And you know, when we get to the next part of this chapter, we're going to find out over in Philippi, he's going to meet a lady named Lydia. It's almost like he walks in town. In fact, when he first walks in town, like there's nobody there to talk to much. And he just finds some ladies down by the river. And he starts there. I'm sure enough, that little lady was the one that starts the church. And so the fact is, you know, you just don't know what it is that God's doing, but we got to be sensitive to his leading. And so the success is having done the will of God. Now, being led of the Spirit can be intangible and often confusing, yet it can be clear to our heart. You can't necessarily lay your finger on something necessarily, but sometimes it's very clear. Now, don't conjure up what you want it and then drive it hard and say, this is what I want, so it must be what God wants. And so you got to be careful with that. And so you got to be very, very careful. Now, in our passage of the evening, it seemed that there's some obvious directions that Paul and his team should go, but Paul was honest with himself, yielded to the Holy Spirit, obedient to the Lord, and it became obvious that God had some other plans. Now, my first question here was, is it possible to be led by the Holy Ghost? And I believe it is. And last two times, we talked about, number one, the Lord often leads by a process of elimination. Now, when I say that, that's why we need to know the Word of God. Because usually a process of elimination isn't, well, that pays the most, or that's the most fun, or I like that part of the country, or, you know, that's not what the process of elimination is. The process of elimination is usually saying, no, that compromises this principle in God's Word. No, that compromises this principle in God's Word. No, that compromises this principle in God's Word. Well, that doesn't look like the most inviting option there, but it's the only one that doesn't compromise God's Word. Well, then if you're going to go, that's the place to go. I know that seems crazy, but wherever it is, it's not a compromise. Letter A, not a compromise. Sometimes he only leaves one door open to us, number one. Sometimes the Lord only gives a piece about one option, even if that option is the least attractive. And too often we try to make a choice, we rationalize the options that appeal to us. It probably appeal to our flesh, appeal to our wants and our desires. You know, every time a missionary goes to some place like Jamaica or Hawaii, we all kind of smile. Yeah, we're going to suffer for God in Hawaii. But you know what? That's, you know, they need the gospel too. And sometimes it is God's will. But just because it looks good doesn't mean it's necessarily God's will. I mean, I know a lot of kids that come out of the West Coast College, and they feel like if they go to a nice little church like this, they're copping out. They think, I got to go to someplace hard, right? Well, you know, be honest with you, if it's, you know, a lot of times if it's it may look hard, but if it's what the Lord wants, it's not hard to do that. But it's kind of funny. They get, well, I've got to dislike it. It's got to be something I don't want to do, and then I know I'm obeying God. Not necessarily. So, letter B, he was not allowed to go south into Asia. He was forbidden, prevented by the word, or to do what he thought he was supposed to do. Letter C, not allowed to go north into Bithynia. And says he essayed, he tried, he made an effort to do so, but he said the Holy Spirit suffered him not. The Holy Spirit just wouldn't let him do it. Now, how that manifested itself, we really don't know. But like I said, God can make it known to you one way or another. And if he hasn't, then you stay where you're supposed to be. So Paul came from the east, and anything left was to go west, letter D. And then the Spirit confirms it. Go west, a little ways, the Troas. And then the Holy Spirit confirms and says, that's good, but I want you to go all the way to Philippi, over in the Macedonia area. And he had some kind of sighting, some kind of spectacle there. I'm not sure what it was. Again, it looked like a man. And so whether it was a vision or how it was, it says it was a vision. We don't know, but there it was. So somehow he saw it. And so letter E, God is able to make the calling clear. Remember that. If he's not making it clear, trust him. Letter F, trust that he will make it clear. If you're sincerely looking for God's will in your life, the Lord will make it clear. That doesn't mean he's going to make it clear today or even tomorrow. Letter G, don't move until the Lord makes it clear. Or you're in sin. You don't have to have God to hit you with a 2x4 to get out of sin. If you're sinning, get out of it. It's always right to flee. We talked about that Sunday morning. It's always right to flee sin. Always right to flee sin. And then letter H, double check with the word of God and see what is within God's will and what is not. Always make sure you're double checking with the word of God. And the thing is, we don't know the word of God as well as we should. I've been studying the word of God for years and years and years and years, and there's still some things that come up with, ooh, look at that. That makes it clear. And passages that I've read over and over and over again. But the fact is, I guess I didn't need it yet. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit will show you from his word when you need it. He really will. Now, don't take it out of context. But it is amazing how he can apply things and help you understand the application. So number two, if we're going to do that, Paul was sensitive to the Spirit of God, yielded to the will of God, and obedient to the word of God. And so if we're going to hear, we're going to understand what's going on, here's our example. Paul was sensitive. He had his ears on. He had his antenna up. Like Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And that means he's going to perk his ears up. He's going to be like a little dog, listen to what's going on the porch there. And he hears it before everybody else does. Did you never notice that? Dogs are sometimes stupid. But they can hear stuff that we can't hear. And sometimes, again, many of you have heard me tell the story. You know, I've realized one of the best things that ever happened to me was when I realized God knows I'm stupid. And he knows what I don't know. And he knows that I don't know it. And he knows how to make me know it. And if I'm sensitive, got my ears on, and I'm yielded to him and willing to do his will, obedient, he will make it known. If he hasn't made it known yet, then apparently I'm not supposed to move yet. Again, unless it's sin. So letter B, live sensitive, yielded and obedient to the word of God. Number three. Now, another principle, God knows best. When we're looking at a situation and we're trying to make a decision, sometimes there's an obvious choice or what appears to be the obvious choice. What you will learn eventually is the obvious choice is to follow God. Eventually, your understanding in the Word of God and understanding in as a Christian is that no matter what happens and what it looks like, what the circumstances, no matter how good it looks or how bad it looks, the obvious choice as a yielded, surrendered Christian is to follow the will of God. I told you the story about when I got out of college, I had a choice to teach in public school or teach in Christian school. And I'm not saying it's wrong to teach in public school necessarily, but what I was going to teach was going to be wrong. I was going to teach things. What they wanted me to teach was not things I should be teaching and encouraging in the kids. But I had a Christian tell me the obvious choice is to take the job that pays more, not the job that surrendered more to the Lord. The obvious choice is to do the one that pays more. That's not always the obvious choice. It really isn't. But God knows best. Letter B, those that may not have sensed the calling specifically on their own heart may have doubted Paul's directions. I mean, when Paul was being led by the Spirit to go all the way to Macedonia, well, first of all, he tried to go north, and it wasn't going to happen, south, and they were going to go north, and then he said, well, I guess we're going to go west, and then he decided to go further west. They probably said, where in the world is this crazy man taking us? There's all these people. We ought to be leading the Lord right here. Why are we going over there? In fact, letter C, Paul and his team were sent to the enemy. Macedonia, full of Greeks. You know, you got, I think it isn't, isn't in that where Alexander the Great was from Macedon? I mean, it's his headquarters. I mean, this is right in the middle of the, you know, Greek enemy. I mean, this is not necessarily a place. I mean, the Grecian culture and all this was so intense. I mean, these people didn't even know who Jehovah was. All they knew was it was probably a curse word, just like we live now. All those Jews. Oh, yeah, those Jews, you know, they believe in that Jehovah guy. Where's it getting him? You know, where's that getting them, you know? And so they probably thought it was Greek. They called the Greeks dogs. Now, that's why it says in Romans, it says, God is rich unto all, whether Jew or Greek. God is rich unto all who call upon his name. I think Paul learned that right now when he walked into Macedonia. So letter D, being led of the Spirit, God may possibly put you in direct opposition to the general consensus of the people. That doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. It might be right where you're supposed to be in the will of God. And again, just because you feel like you're getting opposed does not mean it's not God's will. In fact, it may mean that you got Satan running scared and he's walking around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so what we have to resist him. And if you'll resist him, he'll flee. And how do you resist him? That passage said, resist him steadfast in the faith. What does that mean? Just keep doing what you're supposed to do. You don't have to fight the devil. You can't fight the devil. God has to fight the devil. Our job is to be obedient and just keep doing what we're supposed to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places. And we don't have the power. That we're human. We're mortal. We cannot do that. But we do have the Holy Spirit. We have the Lord. The Lord will fight our battles. The battle is the Lord's. So sometimes he puts us in the right place. I know way too many preachers who had a lot of opposition, and off they went. I know a couple preachers who were having trouble, and it was like one particular family was really giving them a hard time in the church. They gone in, they took this church, and that happens. By the way, we've never had that problem, but someone else shows up here, you make sure you call the right guy to be your pastor, and then let him be the pastor. I'm sorry, he's not going to do everything like Pastor Walsh does. Some of you are going to say, well, good, I'm glad for that. But I'm not planning on going on the next trip or anything here, but you got to let him be the pastor. You got to let him do it. But I know these some guys who've taken a church that was, you know, this size and doing well, and he get in there some family decides they're going to tell the preacher how to run around the church. And I've seen several of them where these people were just, I mean, they were just on the preacher's back and on the preacher's back and on the preacher's back. He finally said, I guess this is not the Lord's will, and he left. That was wrong too. The roaring lion made so much noise, he ran scared. And about the time they leave, 2 or 3 weeks later, those people are gone. And their problem of the church was, most of that biggest problem was non-existent. And he would have never had to move. In fact, they didn't have to move. You got to be careful. So letter E, sometimes God doesn't do the obvious. Now, number four, this is new tonight. Led by the Spirit. Now, we're going to talk about this. We're going to get into some principles here this evening. We're going to kind of step away from the passage, though the passage is a good example of all this. We're going to talk about this a little bit. To be led by the Spirit. Number one, to be led of the Spirit, letter A, to be led by the Spirit, you must be a child of God. Okay? There's an awful lot of people say, well, as soon as the Lord starts leading me and I feel his senses, his direction, then I'll believe him enough to get saved. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're actually let me kind of see what he does first, and then I'll decide whether I trust him. Now, you got to come to him, believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Well, I don't know. Is he God? The heavens declare his glory. And in the heavens, we see who he is. There's a God out there. Start with what we do know. And the fact is, there's a Holy Spirit is trying to talk to you. And the first thing that the Lord is trying to talk, the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you is, you're a sinner. You need a Savior. We want you to come we want you to have a relationship with God, but the only way you're going to have the relationship is through the blood of Jesus Christ. To be led of the Spirit, you must be the child of God. Number one, be indwelt with the life of the Father. Indwelt with the life of the Father. We are dead in sins and trespasses. We need to be born again. We need to come alive in Christ. The law brings death, but the Spirit is a quickening Spirit. It brings life. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, or Daddy, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Did I give you that passage there? Okay. Now, Matthew Henry says it this way. He says, "All that are Christ's are taken into the relation of children to God. They are led by the Spirit of God. And as a scholar in his learning, they are led by his tutor, as a scholar in his learning is led by his tutor, as a traveler in his journey is led by his guide, as a soldier in his engagements is led by the captain, not driven as beasts, but led as rational creatures, drawn with the cords of a man and the bands of love, it is the undoubted character of all true believers that they are led by the Spirit of God, having submitted themselves in believing to his guidance. They do in their obedience follow the guidance and are sweetly led into all truth and all duty. Their privilege, they are the sons of God, received into the number of God's children by adoption, owned, loved by him as his children. Daddy will be glad to give you advice and tell you what you ought to do next if you listen to Daddy. If you're a child of God, you can cry, Abba, Father. He's your daddy. And he's glad to teach you if you're willing to listen to him. Now, by the way, if you really want to listen to what your dad has to say, let's say you're going to start a business. You're 20 years old and you're going to start a business and your dad's been in business for 30 years or whatever it is, you know. You're going to sit down and have a chat with him. You're going to let him talk to you. If you're smart, you're going to let him talk to you. If he's been successful, sit down and let him talk to you and tell you what he wants. It only makes sense. God has written this all down. And the Holy Spirit will teach us in our heart as we read it if we will listen to him. But there's a lot of people who are worried about trying to find God's will for their life, and they never crack the book. You say, well, I didn't see where it was going. Oh, so you knew everything. It's in there. And sometimes it's in passages you weren't expecting. God will lead you. The problem is we're not consistent in leading. I hate to say it, it shows our ignorance and the reality of the situation. Letter B. So first of all, you've got to be a child of God. Letter B, to be led of the Spirit. In other words, be led of the Spirit. I put a little thing here, over the flesh. In other words, which one is in control at the time? To be led of the Spirit, you must be filled with the Spirit. Now, I put a little thing here. I put this in later. Galatians 5. Is that on your thing? Good. I thought I've added that back in there. Galatians 5 tells us some things here. He said, come on. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led, there it is, led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, what's that mean? Yo, if I'm led of the Spirit, then I can do whatever I want. No, that's what he's saying. He's saying, if you're led of the Spirit, you don't need the law telling you. In other words, it's in there, okay, but the Holy Spirit will bring these things to your remembrance. You don't need somebody to say, you got to do this. You're going to want to do this. I've had all the beer today that I want. None. You know what I'm saying? I've lied to all the people that I want to lie to. None. Why? Because lying never does us any good. It's sin. Sin brings forth death. What do I want separation from God for? And see, the world says the obvious thing is you got to tell them this so that you can get what you want. But somebody who's being led of the Spirit says the obvious choice is to do right and be honest and truthful about it, because God will make it work out best. So the obvious, actually, I guess it's kind of determined by who you have telling you what to do. Whether you're going with the flesh or whether you're going with the Spirit. Now, Jesus was led by the Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I'm not dwelling a lot on any of these points here, but apparently being filled with the Spirit is essential to having His leading. But just because when He leads you, doesn't necessarily mean He's going to lead you where you want to be. When He led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, to fast for 40 days, and afterward he wasn't hungered, the Bible says. But the Holy Spirit led him there. Let her see. We are filled, watch, as we surrender to him. We are filled as we surrender to him. Now, right now in our passage here, we want to know the will of God. We want to be led by the Spirit of God. So what does it say? Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't do the obvious, what the world says is obvious. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or demonstrate or see what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to know the will of God, you've got to be surrendered to the will of God. So I don't know what it is yet. It's the will of God. It's God's will. It's what God wants. It's funny how we talk about how good God is until He tells us what to do. And all of a sudden, we don't want to do it. Oh, God is good. He takes care of us. Nah, that's just crazy. I'm not doing that. It's amazing how we do that. We say God is good, and we know He knows everything, and He's always right, and then we read something in the Bible that puts a little kink in our lifestyle, and all of a sudden, well, that can't be right. But God says it's best for you. Well, I don't know, but I don't think we need to do that. Letter D, being led of the Spirit directs us where God wants us to go and not necessarily where we desire to go. Being led of the Spirit directs us where God wants us to go. Being led of the Spirit does not always make life easier. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Again, what I read first was Luke 4. In Matthew 4, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I mentioned it a little earlier. But the Holy Spirit led him. Now, Matthew Henry implied this, but in letter E, if we are His sheep, the Lord's sheep, followers is the word there, followers, we will hear His voice. Again, we've got to have ears to hear. If you're not willing to hear what God has to say, don't expect Him to lead you. He may, in your mercy, may push you in the right direction. That's what He did to Lot and his crew. drug them out of Sodom. We talked about that on Sunday. In his mercy, he did that. But it's mercy. You know, we don't, God doesn't always give us that mercy. In John 10, verse 22, it says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He said, well, listen, it was obvious who he was. Nicodemus showed up in John, and he says, Lord, we know, Rabbi, we know that thou art from God, because no one could do the things you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus, his ears were up. His antenna was up. He was looking for truth. But these guys came to him and said, well, are you from God or not? He said, have you been watching me? Have you seen what I've done? Have you seen the people getting healed? Have you heard about the 5,000 getting fed? What do you mean, am I from God? No, they didn't want to, they didn't, listen, they saw all the evidence and they did not want to believe what the evidence pointed to. They had already made they had already come to a conclusion of who he is. And anything that goes contrary must be falsehood. I'm sorry. Sounds like our political realms these days. No matter what the obvious is, that can't be right because it's not what I want. We've already decided, we've already come to the conclusion that person's a bad guy, so it has to be bad. It can't, and if it looks good, it can't be good because it must be bad. It has to be because the man's bad. We've already figured that out. And we do the same things in the will of God. We want the Holy Spirit to lead us, but then a lot of times we don't listen because we've already decided, well, that doesn't make sense. God will tell us to take a step, and we say, well, that would take faith. And that doesn't make sense. So I'm not going to take that step. Now, when Peter was in the boat and saw Jesus coming walking on water, he actually said, Lord, and we always give him a hard time. The fact is, he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And Peter, he said, Peter, come on. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. You said, well, yeah, but he slipped down into the water. He walked further in water than you did. And that was because he got his eyes off of the Lord and on the waves. But his result was not trying to swim back to the boat. He asked for the Lord to save him. And the Lord reached his hand out. Sometimes we want the Lord's will, but the Lord's will seems like it's how to take faith. And we stop right there. So we are his sheep. We follow. Just, you know, the Bible talks about sheep being dumb. And the fact is, they'll just follow the shepherd anywhere. And that's good, if they will. It said, the shepherd, that my sheep hear my voice. Letter F. To be a sheep, you must make the Lord your shepherd. Who's your shepherd?
probably 90% of the funerals that I do, I'll use Psalm 23. And I usually hear people read that for years and years and years, and I thought, well, that's a nice psalm. And they read it and go on. And it kind of, and a lot of times they read it very perfunctory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me by still waters, he restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He prepareth the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. I think I skipped a couple things. But surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's so rich. And in times like those, like when you're losing someone, a lot of times someone we relied on, make the Lord your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. And as I do that passage, remember, you're in the path of righteousness, and in the midst of the path of righteousness, you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is on the road of righteousness. But fear no evil, for he's with you. Letter G, expect the leading of the Lord to be as a shepherd and not as a cowboy. Okay? What does that mean? You lead sheep. You drive horses and cows. We're sheep. So letter H, to be led of the Spirit, we must yield to the Spirit. God is not going to drive you. As a shepherd, he's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That means you got to decide you're going to follow Jesus. Ever hear that little kid song? I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Ever heard that song? I'll have to dig it out there. My soul to keep, I just want to be a sheep. And I'll tell you what, you say, that's really sweet, the kids want to be a little sheep. You know what? That's for the rest of us too. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Watch it. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for, this is Jesus speaking, expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, which he will call later the Holy Spirit, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, you see me no more, of judgment because the Prince of Peace is, the Prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will give you, you can see afar off. Remember earlier on this year? He that hasn't added these things, he that lacketh these things is blind and can't see afar off. He says, I will show you things. I will show you what your decisions are making. I think it says, I'll show you things to come. I think it has something to do with future events as well. But you'll be able to see past the present. You'll make choices with a long-term view. Letter I, if we follow the shepherd, we will have a much better trip. You want to be led of the Spirit, you got to be follow the shepherd. If you follow the shepherd, you're going to have a much better trip. Proverbs 22:5, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. What does that mean? The froward means somebody who won't stay on the path of righteousness with him. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The froward path is not the path of righteousness. Froward just simply means you got off on your own path. You got off the track. Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. In other words, if you're going to look out for yourself, stay away from the thorns and snares. Well, how do you do that? Stay on the righteous path. Letter J. God leads by his Spirit and by his Spirit's application of the word. In other words, we need to read the word of God and let the Lord speak to our heart. He will do that if we will let him. You can be led by the Spirit. Number 5. Following a leader who is following Jesus Christ. Follow a leader who is following Jesus Christ. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. We're told how they knew the Holy Spirit was forbidding them to go to these different places. And all we know is that the Holy Spirit did forbid them to go to these places. As apparently, wasn't ours to know. Somehow, we just need to trust and follow. We don't know, understand why God said, or what God said to Paul, don't go here, don't stay here, keep moving. We don't know. It doesn't tell us here. And I think the things that God leaves out is because we're going to take this to the nth degree, and we're going to think, well, that's the way God always does it. And God does all kinds of things with different people. We've got to be sensitive to him. Timothy may have wondered who he just gotten hooked up with, because he's probably just joined the gang over here, beginning of chapter 16. And now Paul's saying, well, let's go over here. No, okay. Let's go over here. That didn't work out. And finally, so it's going all over the place. Well, does this guy know what he's doing? He was trying to find out what God's will is. Letter E, Luke and Silas may have wondered some as well. Yeah, I don't think you maybe have some of these. They very well may have thought that Paul had no idea what he was doing. First he said they were going to the Asia, then he said no. Then he said they were going to Bithynia, then he said no. And doesn't he know what he's supposed to be doing? What kind of leader is this? Who in the world are we following here? Maybe we should have gone with Barnabas. He must have been, maybe he was the real brains behind the group in the first place. But what we have here is a leader that is sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He had in his mind, go here. And the Holy Spirit said no. So he stopped. He could have said, well, I know what the Lord wants, but I've already told him I'm going this way, so he can't back up now. See, that's what some egomaniac leaders do. They blow off of the mouth, and then when the Holy Spirit says something else, they ignore it, and they do what they want because they don't want to look like a fool. Paul was actually willing to look like a fool in order to be in the middle of God's will. Now again, let me go back to that line there. Follow a leader who's following Jesus Christ. Now how do you know he's following Jesus Christ? Is he following the book? Now God puts leaders in our lives, and that leader may not do exactly what you think should be, but if it's within the context agreeable to the word of God, we need to stay there. Stick with him. But if he's going away from the word of God, then you don't stick with him. Now, I'm not saying you jump off the first time. And remember when they all had to go back to Jerusalem for a meeting there, and they had to get some things worked out on whether non-Jews could get saved and what do they have to do and do they need to be circumcised or not and so forth and so on. Okay, well, give people time to grow and to learn and so forth and so on. But if somebody digs their feet in and goes very clearly against the word of God, well, then, you have to can't move on. You got to move on. Sorry, you kind of have to do that. Again, if it's something that's
You know, we can get very, very picky about some things, but I'm talking about things that are major doctrines and or things that are really causing a problem in the culture, the community at the time, and are just digging their feet in and aren't willing to go with the Word of God. You got to have some insight there and some common sense, so to speak. But you gotta allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to lead you and make sure it's not your ego digging its feet in. Just be careful with that. Number six, the timing of the ministry is of the Lord. The timing of the ministry is of the Lord. God may be preparing our hearts to do something down the road, but we must not become impatient and get ahead of God and trust our own reasoning over the leading of the Holy Spirit. There are many things, for instance, we want to do here, but we got to wait for God's timing. There's some things we had on docket and I wanted to do right away, but I really knew it wasn't wise to do it right away. But since then, the Lord has allowed us to do all kinds of things. And sometimes you just got to be patient. I wrote this here, this message originally, you know, when I first moved here. I think I preached this in 2004. I came here in 2003, first time I preached this thing. I have a little note here. I noticed a little note that I had there. It says, you may be wondering why we haven't done certain things, and they may be good things. Why haven't we done that yet? God's timing. God's timing. You got to be careful. Way too many churches have overextended themselves and said, well, God will do it. Don't you trust God? Yeah. But again, God's timing. Sometimes we want to build something because it's our legacy, not because it's what God's will is. We're here to meet the needs, the spiritual needs of our community. Let me say this. This is easy for Christian leaders to do. And I've talked about this in a couple other contexts. We've got to be careful about this too. The goal of the church is to build people, not buildings. But if a building of a building will help us build people, and God is going to open the door and let us do it, then we do it. See what I'm saying? The building of our school is not about building a school. About building those students, building young people, edifying. That's the word the Bible uses. It means to build up, to teach them, to train them, to make, help them be prepared to reach to meet this crazy world with a biblical perspective and to know the truths and be able to be led by the Holy Spirit themselves. That's the goal of it's just that we have a school to teach them from a Christian perspective, and to keep them safe from the world's perspective and the world's influence. And so we got to be careful with that. Now I got a summary here. Got a few and be done. Let's see here. Number seven. Did I do one right before that? Yeah, the time in the ministry. Okay, right. Okay. Remember, God knows. I said it before. Remember, God knows that I'm stupid. As long as I seek His face and wait on Him, if we don't move, it will be His fault and not ours. Let me say that again. He knows what I don't know. He knows what I need to know. Now, as long as I'm seeking His face, I'm yielded to Him. I'm waiting on Him. Then I'll be able to move at the right time. And if I don't move, and it was wrong, that it was His fault, He didn't let me know. Now I say that facetiously. That's how sure I could know that God will tell me what I need to know when I need to know it, if I keep my nose in a book and my heart yielded to Him. If He hasn't told me, He hasn't forgotten, He didn't drop the ball, it's not time yet. Not time yet. So, we just wait patiently for God to tell us to move. Just like the cloud in the wilderness. God says when the cloud and a pillar of fire move, you pick up camp and you move. When it stops, you stop. And he led them through the wilderness that way. They always said they wandered through the wilderness. The thought of wandering was only in their mind, not in God's mind. He moved them around. They followed the cloud all the way through the wilderness. God, it wasn't haphazard. God knew what he was doing. Now, if God places someone in a position of leadership, follow him unless he's clearly going against the direct word of God and not just against our preferences or our feelings. So letter A, follow character. And I'll put a little sign there. Not personality. Not charisma. Follow character, not charisma. Letter B, follow humility. Not ego. Follow humility. Listen, if God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, then you do not want to be following someone that is proud because God is resisting them. And if he's resisting them and you're following him, then God's probably, and you're connected to him, God's resisting you too. Follow humility. Let her see. Follow spirituality. Those that speak the word of God. Those that practice Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, and thou mayest observe and do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make the way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. These words must depart from thy mouth. It's what we say. It's what we think. It's what we do. We know the word of, if they're going to lead, you know, the person going to, when they say so, well, we're going to do this because the Bible says thus and so. And I'm very grateful that that's not an unusual occurrence in our deacons' meetings. Well, the Bible says thus and so. So I guess that's what we need to do. This is what the Bible tells us to do. This is what we got to do. Follow spirituality. Letter D. Follow honesty and truthfulness. Follow honesty and truthfulness. Now, and again, I'm thinking about the guys that had to follow Paul. Paul was following the Spirit, but we need to follow folks who are led by the Spirit. There's way too many churches and sometimes families where they're standing there saying, well, the Spirit, you know, I'm being led of the Spirit, we're supposed to do this. They say, well, I'm being led of the Spirit, we're supposed to do this. Somebody, and probably neither one of them, are being led by the Spirit. Why is there, all of a sudden there's contention? And you know where I'm going. Only by pride cometh contention. Well, that breaks number B, letter B off. Follow the humility. Pride. If you see in contention, pride is there. So, well, I wasn't being prideful, it was them being prideful. Yeah, but a soft answer turneth away wrath. And you know, to give a soft answer, you got to be humble. And if you return grievous words for their grievous words, you're just as proud as they are. We can diffuse those things on how we deal with it. I don't care who you deal with, what your position is. If you deal with people, you're going to have problems. There's going to be things. So how do you deal with it? In a godly manner. Honesty, truthfulness, but speaking the truth in love. Oh, you guys are good. Letter E, follow integrity. integrity. Someone who stands on truth and doesn't move. Integrity. Not someone who can get away with something. Someone who's always got an excuse why it's not their fault. Letter F, follow those who follow God. Underneath, I have not necessarily those who think like us, but those who think like God. Somebody who has given all diligence to add to the faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity, who can see afar off. That's what you got to do. You got to follow someone who follows God. And lastly, follow the Spirit's direction over what seems to be the obvious direction. If there's a difference between what seems to be obvious and what the Holy Spirit is leading, you follow the Spirit. You follow the Holy Spirit. We finished it. It took three times, but we got her done. You can be led of the Spirit. But you got to get serious about it. I mean, serious about it. I mean, how many times have you actually got on your knees and asked Him? How many times have you actually confessed your sins until you know that you're all confessed up and there's nothing between you, nothing between my soul and the Savior, naught of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. When's the last time when you sat down and confessed, you said, Holy Spirit, tell me my sins. And I want to confess and forsake them. And I'm going to seek your mercy. And I want to be clean before you. Because you said, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't want any of them left over. But that's a scary thought, isn't it? And by the way, when those things happen, we confess them to Him. But if we've wronged someone else, the Bible says we should go to that person and make it right. So you come to offer your gift to the Lord and you realize you got something against, that someone has something against you, or there's something between you and another person that you could remedy, leave your gift there. Go get it. I mean, stop right there. Go and make it right. Then come back to me. And have a relationship with me, the Lord says. But we want to be led. Remember, thy sins have separated you from your God. We need to get right with Him. We really do.